Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
OC Board OK's recommended tax rate. The Odessa College Board of Trustees approved the recommended tax rate for 2022. The total rate will be $0.188643 per $100 valuation, a decrease of 6.5%. The maintenance and operation rate will be $0.164191 per $100 valuation, a decrease of 4.9%. Chief Financial Officer Brandy Hamm said the debt service rate would be $0.024452, which is a decrease of 16% over last year's debt service. The total rate is a decrease of 6.5%. So looking at what the rate represents again, it's a decrease of 6.5%, but it is an increase of 6.45% over the no new tax revenue tax rate. So based on the new tax rate of $0.188643, the annual tax rate on an average home with a market value of $229,619 would be $347.06 per year, which is a decrease of $2.12 per year. That equates to about 18 cents a month decrease, Hamm said Tuesday evening. Since the new tax rate will be above the no new revenue rate, but below the voter-approved rate, the college will have to have public hearings. They are scheduled for 6 p.m. September 8th in room 128 at the Salisbury Campus Center and noon September 13th in the same room. The total budget for 2022-23 is $75,241,575. On a separate item, the board approved a fitness court for the James C. Grest Stadium. The total cost will be $166,350. Trustees also appointed Tom Byford to place 4 and Randy Wilson to place 5 and approved resolutions to do so. Byford was sworn in and took his place Tuesday night. Byford is a native Odessan, an Odessa High School graduate, went to Odessa College and earned Bachelor of Business Administration degrees in Finance and Economics from Texas Tech University. He returned home to Odessa and has worked in various banking and finance jobs for 20 years. I am very happy to be here and to be part of the board, Byford said. Wilson was out of town. Like Byford, he is a native Odessan. He graduated from Permian High School and earned an associate degree in science from South Plains College. He went on to Texas Tech, where he earned a bachelor's degree in business administration. He has had a 34-year career in banking. In the education report, the college recognized Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray for the work he has done to make academic improvements in the district with a B rating from the Texas Education Agency. Murray thanked OC for welcoming him to the community 3.5 years ago and thanked them for embracing the two early college high schools on campus. Odessa Collegiate Academy and OC Techs were recognized for earning A ratings under the state accountability system. Connie May, Executive Director of Institutional Research and Effectiveness, gave the Institutional Effectiveness Report focused on strategic planning. The goal of the strategic planning is to provide the roadmap that's going to move the college forward. And again, we transitioned from an annual planning to a 2-year planning cycle, and we added this additional goal that Dr. Janice Hicks, Vice President of Institutional Effectiveness, said that we needed to have. We've always had increased enrollment and increasing educational attainment. She wanted to add to transform the community because of Odessa College. That is what we do. We transform the community, May said. She also reviewed departmental continuous improvement plans, for example, occupational safety and environmental technology wants to pursue qualified academic program status. They're going to restructure their program to meet the requirements for that. The music department, they want 100% of their students to be entered into a competition or an exhibition. Then they also want to invite ECISD for professional development with the OC faculty, May said. Trustee Dr. Tara Deaver, appointed to Engagement Committee of the Texas Association of Community Colleges, and Lynn Lyon won the Blackboard Exemplary Course Program Award. Vasquez is lone candidate in District 4. Gilbert Vasquez, who spent more than 30 years as an administrator within the Ector County Independent School District, is the only candidate seeking to replace Odessa City Council member Deidre White in November. White, who represents District 3, announced several weeks ago she would not be running for re-election. District 4's Tom Sprawls and District 5's Mary Willis aren't running either. Chris Haney and Shay Lane will be running against each other for the District 5 position, but like Vasquez, Greg Connell will be running unopposed for the District 4 seat. Vasquez, 74, began working for ECISD as a special education and Spanish teacher in 1974, but after 3 years found himself a school administrator. He worked at Odessa High School and Crockett, Bonham and Hood Junior Highs, and the Alternative Center. He later became a coordinator director in the Human Resources Department. He retired in 2009 as the district's assistant superintendent of human resources. He was married for nearly 54 years to Adela Vasquez, who died in January. She spent 44 years in public education, and she also worked in the court system conducting home studies for children up for adoption. When his wife passed, Vasquez said his daughter, Monica Tischnauer, suggested he get involved in the community like her mother had. Adela had run for county commissioner and the Medical Center Hospital Board in the past and was involved in various civic organizations. But while he has always kept up with everything going on, he'd always stayed in the background, he said. Now he's got time to devote to the city council and believes his background could come in handy, Vasquez says. I'm running unopposed. Somebody else out there wasn't willing to represent our district, and I decided to step up. I even told my daughter, I think your mom is smiling down from heaven on me right now, glad to see that I finally made the decision to get involved in local public service. Vasquez said, that's what public service is about. It's about people stepping up and making decisions for Odessans that benefit all of us. I've been here forever, so I want to give back to the community for whatever time I have left in this world. While with ECISD, Vasquez said he was a rule follower. I made sure that my T's were crossed and my I's were dotted, and that's the way I'm going to approach my responsibilities to this community as a council member. I'm going to make sure that I'm reading up on what's going on and try to understand it. Until then, until I'm actually in the mix of all those discussions, I really couldn't give you any answers about where I stand on anything. Vasquez said he'd like people to know he's open-minded and a team player. I want to be a servant. I want to be a listener for them. Whatever decisions I find myself having to be a part of, they will always be in the best interest of the people of Odessa, Texas, he said. Local news roundup. Odessa man shot, killed Wednesday. A 43-year-old Odessa man was shot and killed on Jeter Avenue early Wednesday morning. According to the Odessa Police Department, officers received a disturbance call around 2:40 a.m. Wednesday. When they arrived on the scene of the incident, they found Jody Good suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. A witness told officers they shot Good to defend another person who was in a physical fight with Good. No arrests have been made and police continue to investigate the incident. Once the investigation is complete, the case will be forwarded to the Ector County District Attorney's Office. The incident took place on Jeter Avenue near Fitch Avenue around the block of Hayes Magnet Academy. Man accused of deadly conduct. An Odessa man who thought his wallet was stolen was arrested Friday night after police said he fired his 9mm Ruger at the Fraternal Order of Eagles. According to an Odessa Police Department report, police received a 911 call about shots being fired at the Eagles Bar on East 7th Street around 8 p.m. Friday. Witnesses at the bar said Jordan Odell Landry, 38, accused one of the employees of stealing his wallet, went outside and grabbed his handgun from his pickup truck. According to the report, Landry then went to the east side of the building and fired one round into the building, which had multiple people inside. Landry called the bar while police were still there and said the shooting was an accident, the report stated. When officers went to speak with Landry at his home on Haywood Avenue, he admitted to grabbing the gun and firing, according to the report. Police found a copper bullet inside the bar and a bullet casing outside, the report stated. Landry was arrested on suspicion of deadly conduct, discharging a firearm, a Class 3 felony punishable by a 2 to 10 year prison sentence. He was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting a $15,000 surety bond. Odessan facing drug charges. An undercover operation led to the arrest last week of an Odessa man on drug and other charges. According to a Odessa Police Department report, detectives received a tip that Tony Anthony Davis Jr., who also goes by Batman, was distributing methamphetamine from an apartment on Oakwood Drive. The detectives arranged to buy 2 ounces of meth from Davis on August 15th and watched him as he set out to deliver it. Detectives tried to pull Davis over for a traffic violation, but he evaded them. According to the report, Davis ended up stopping at a dead end in the 4500 block of East University Boulevard, and he gave up exiting the vehicle when taken into custody. Detectives found somewhere between 4 and 200 grams of methamphetamine in the vehicle, and Davis admitted he was on his way to deliver 2 ounces of methamphetamine, according to the report. Davis also admitted he'd thrown some meth out of the window while he was trying to dodge them. Davis was arrested on suspicion of manufacturing, delivering a controlled substance, evading arrest, detention with a motor vehicle, tampering with physical evidence, and driving while license is suspended. He remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday on surety bonds totaling $81,000. Man arrested after report of threats. An Odessa man was arrested late Thursday night after his former girlfriend told authorities he threatened to kill her and himself. According to an Odessa Police Department report, dispatchers received a 911 call from the 7500 block of Horton Ranch Road around 10 p.m. Thursday. They heard a woman crying and pleading with someone to stop several times. The woman hung up, but then called back and said Tim had pointed a gun at her and threatened to kill her and himself. When officers arrived, Timothy Ray Britt Jr. walked outside with his hands up. He told officers he was upset that his former girlfriend had been unfaithful, and he'd grabbed his gun and walked outside with it. The 911 caller said Britt, 33, threatened to kill himself during an argument about her makeup and appearance, and when she followed him into a bedroom, he made his threats, the report stated. She also showed officers a text from Britt that he'd sent before their arrival. According to the report, it said, "You better deny it." Officers found the gun in a backpack in the same bedroom, according to the report. Britt was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence. He was released from the Ector County Jail Saturday after posting a $40,000 surety bond. the crime is punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. Student facing charges for alleged threat. Ector County ISD police have charged a student with exhibition or threat of a firearm after he allegedly made a statement about getting a gun and shooting kids. This student is a 7th grader at Crockett Middle School. ECISD officers received a call about the statement early Wednesday morning and quickly worked to find the student. The boy did not have a weapon. In addition to the criminal charge, the school is conducting a threat assessment of the situation to ensure the safety of students and staff moving forward, a news release detailed. ECISD officers want to thank those that came forward with the information and want to remind all students, parents, and community members that all threats will be taken seriously, investigated, and if substantiated, will lead to criminal charges, the release said. Man accused of sexual assault. A 37-year-old Odessa man accused of raping one girl and sexually abusing another was arrested Saturday and remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $60,000. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman called 911 around 3:30 a.m. Saturday after she found a 14-year-old girl crying in the shower and the girl told her Joshua Clark had raped her. The child was taken to Harmony Home Child Advocacy Center, and she told a forensic examiner that a drunken Clark came into her bedroom 2 hours earlier and raped her. Police documents stated. She reported he'd covered her mouth at one point because she was making too much noise. During the investigation, a 16-year-old girl told detectives Clark had forced her to touch him inappropriately on several occasions between 7th and 9th grade, according to the report. Clark, who appeared to be intoxicated, declined to speak with police, the report stated. He was arrested on a suspicion of indecency with a child by sexual contact and sexual assault of a child. Each charge is a Class 2 felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. Man arrested on suspicion of deadly conduct. Someone staying at a local motel escaped injury last month despite a bullet being fired into their room and traveling all the way through it. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an employee of the Homewood Suites on Tres Hermanas called 911 shortly before midnight, July 23rd, to report a shot had been fired. When officers arrived, they spoke with the occupant of room 234 and found a bullet had entered the room from the south side, traveled through the north wall, and lodged itself in a linen closet just north of the room, the report stated. Officers discovered a shell casing in the adjacent room. They also learned 5 people had been in the adjacent room that night, but 3 of them had left before the shot was fired. According to the report, officers saw the other 2 leave the hotel out a back door just before the 911 call was made, without checking to see if anyone was injured by the shot. When interviewed, Isaac Rennie Arguelles, 20, admitted he was drunk and the gun discharged when he was sliding the slide on the firearm back, the report stated. He also allowed officers to take the gun as evidence. Arguelles was arrested Monday on suspicion of deadly conduct, a Class A misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail. He was released from the Ector County Jail on a $1,000 surety bond. Woman arrested on child endangerment. An Odessa woman was arrested on a child endangerment charge last week after authorities learned she'd taken a 12-year-old relative to 4 different hospitals over a 3-day period, insisting they examine her for evidence of sexual assault. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Angela Nicole Fields, 34, took the child to Medical Center Hospital on July 25th because she feared the girl had been sexually abused by another relative. Fields insisted an exam be conducted by a sexual assault nurse examiner despite the fact the girl had never told anyone she was a victim of abuse. When hospital personnel declined to perform the test, Fields repeatedly yelled at the child and repeatedly asked her if she had been abused, and the girl said no. When Fields was told the hospital could only do such exams if authorized by the police department, she took the child to Midland Memorial, and hospital personnel there also declined to perform the test because the girl had not made an outcry. According to the report, Fields took the girl to University Medical Center Hospital in Lubbock the next day. The girl told the attending doctor a male relative would sometimes give her drinks, and she felt pain in her vaginal area upon waking up. Blood tests showed barbiturates in her system, and a sane exam was performed, but no trauma was found. Fields became angry upon hearing the results, insisted the test be readministered, and called the sane incompetent, according to the report. On July 27th, Fields took the child to Dallas for another sane exam. According to the report, she contacted prosecutors there, told her relative had been raped, and the Odessa Police Department was refusing to help her. Fields was arrested on a child endangerment charge August 18th. According to the report, Fields intentionally, knowingly, recklessly, or with criminal negligence, by act or omission, engaged in conduct that places the child in imminent danger of death, bodily injury, or physical or mental impairment. She was released from the Ector County Jail the next day after posting a $3,000 surety bond. The charge is a state jail felony punishable by a prison sentence of 6 months to 2 years. Man arrested on two counts of aggravated assault. An Odessa man was arrested last week after two people said he purposefully T-boned their vehicle and pointed a gun at them. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 19-year-old Odessa man said he parked in the 3700 block of Bowie around 8 p.m. August 16th to wait for his child and his child's mother to come outside. He said David Valise, 39, drove directly at him and his 17-year-old passenger in a white Cadillac Escalade, hitting their Nissan Altima, and then pointed a gun at them after getting out of the caddy. The teenager said the man gave police the same story. When questioned, Velez said he didn't want the teenagers by the house because of past problems, and he'd only intended to scare them, not hit them. According to the report, he denied pointing a gun at them. Video surveillance shows Velez driving at the Altima and stepping out of the vehicle, according to the report. Officers also saw white paint on the Altima driver's side mirror, the report stated. During a subsequent search of the house on Bowie, police found a rifle and ammunition. According to the report, police also found more than 5 pounds of marijuana in a Ford Expedition that Velez admitted was his. Velez was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and possession of marijuana more than 5 pounds, less than 50 pounds. The aggravated assault charges carry a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years, and the marijuana charge is punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 10 years. Accused thief released on bond. A 38-year-old man was arrested Tuesday night after a Gilmer man said he caught him trying to steal his truck, tractor, and trailer. According to an Odessa Police Department report, someone called 911 from the Knights Inn on West Interstate 20 around 8 p.m. Tuesday about a disturbance. When police arrived, the Gilmer man told police that he left his 2017 Peterbilt 587 running to do a system shutdown while he was unloading his groceries. And when he got back, he found a man sitting in the driver's seat trying to drive off with the truck and the attached belly dump trailer, the report stated. The trucker said he pulled the man out and the man started to walk away just as officers arrived, the report stated. The officers detained the man, who was identified as Luis Arturo Lopez of Odessa. He told officers his boss had asked him to pick up the truck and trailer but wasn't able to prove his story, the officers stated. Officers noted the power airlines were not connected to the trailer, and the trailer's landing gear was down. They also saw there were tire drag marks in the ground where the truck had been put into drive and dragged the trailer, according to the report. Lopez was arrested on suspicion of theft of property valued at more than $150,000, but less than $300,000, a Class II felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. He remained in the Ector County Jail Wednesday night on a $40,000 surety bond. Online jail records show Lopez was released from jail last week after posting a $225 surety bond in a public intoxication case. OHS student stabbed during fight. ECISD police are investigating a fight between two Odessa high school students, one of whom was stabbed during the altercation. A news release detailed that the two boys agreed to a fight near the end of the school day. The student who was stabbed was transported to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, and the other is being sought. Other students and staff members at the school were not threatened. ECISD officers and Odessa Police Department are still investigating this situation, the release said. School leaders want to assure parents this behavior is unacceptable and they will take extra precautions as classes resume today. Students are urged to alert an adult on campus if they see or hear anything out of the ordinary or trouble between students, the release said. The safety of students and staff members is top priority at Odessa High School and all ECISD schools. Police lauded OHS staff members for following response protocols that helped ensure dismissal was orderly and safe as school ended and classes released for the day, the release stated. Man accused of threatening witness. An Odessa man was arrested Saturday night after authorities said he tried to intimidate a witness in the sexual assault trial of a convicted sex offender 2 days before his trial was set to begin. Joel John Valdez, 26, is accused of raping a child under the age of 17 in October 2019 and having the same child perform a sex act in January 2020. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the police were called around 8 a.m. Saturday and told that a woman scheduled to testify in Valdez's case had just reported being threatened by one of her regular customers at the convenience store where she works. The woman told officers the man bought 4 scratch-off lottery tickets and while scratching them said, "If you want to make it back safely to your son, don't talk to those people," the report stated. When she asked him who he was talking about, the man replied, "Just don't go talk to them people if you want to go home." As soon as the man left, the woman called an investigator with the Ector County District Attorney's Office. While officers were still at the store, the witness spotted the man who made the threats and pointed him out, according to the report. Although the man initially gave his name as Oscar Valenzuela, he later provided the name of Oscar Lujan, the report stated. Video surveillance videos corroborated the woman's account of what happened, according to the report. Lujan was arrested on suspicion of tampering with a witness, a Class II felony punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. He was also arrested on the Class B misdemeanor of fail to identify by providing false information. He remains in the Ector County Jail on surety bonds totaling $25,500. Valdez's trial was postponed just minutes before opening statements Monday when prosecutors discovered a key witness has COVID-19. It is now scheduled for September 19th. According to online Ector County District Court records, Valdez has been a registered sex offender since 2009. Court records indicate that if Valdez is convicted, prosecutors have asked permission to tell jurors that for the last 3 months, he has repeatedly attempted to tamper with 4 witnesses by contacting them repeatedly himself, having his brothers contact them in person and through social media, repeatedly calling them, messaging them, and otherwise trying to communicate with them in an effort to get them not to testify. Valdez remains in the Ector County Jail on a $30,000 bond. Today's death notices from August 25th. Steve Brasher, 58, of Odessa, died Sunday, August 21st in Odessa. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. August 25th at Chapel Hill in Odessa. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Martha Letitia Hogeen, 65, of Odessa, died Saturday, August 20th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Thursday, August 25th at Acres West 24-Hour Chapel. Burial will follow. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Harriet Olahide, 69, of Midland, died Tuesday, July 26th in Lubbock. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. August 27th at American Heritage Funeral Home. Burial immediately following at American Heritage Cemetery. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Daryl Wells, 81, of Odessa, died Tuesday, August 9th in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled at 11 a.m. August 25th at First United Methodist Church, 415 North Lee in Odessa. Arrangements are by American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland.
Hello, this is Michael. For the last two Thursdays, we have been reading extra articles from the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American's sports sections related to the upcoming high school football season. We're going to continue that today as we begin first with the MRT articles from its sports section that were published in its Weekender section, Saturday, August 20th. Commentary: Legacy and Permian to Battle for 2-6A Football Crown by Chris Hattern. To no surprise, the District 2-6A title this football season should come down to Legacy and Odessa Permian. The Panthers and Rebels are to District 2-6A, much like Ohio State and Michigan are to the Big Ten Football Conference, and I don't anticipate that changing in 2022. LHS and Permian are clearly the top two teams on paper. Both teams have the area's best college football talent, as the Panthers are headlined by Clemson commit Harris Sewell on the offensive line, while the Rebels counter with Arizona pledge Canyon Moses at cornerback and Division I quarterback prospect Marcos Davila. Both programs have been a part of the last four district crowns, as Permian and Legacy shared the league championship from 2018 to 2020 before the Rebels finally claimed it outright in 2021. Not to be forgotten, former league member Amarillo Tascosa also split the title in 2018. The championship could be decided when the Panthers host LHS on October 14th at Ratliff Stadium, a venue where the Rebels last beat Permian in 2010. After LHS and the Panthers, it's anybody's guess how the third through six spots will play out, with the third and fourth place teams securing playoff spots. Here's my prediction on how District 2-6A will unfold, with last season's records in parentheses. 1. Permian, 8-4, 4-2. The Panthers get my first place nod because they have a strong core of returners coming back that includes Sewell, dynamic dual threat QB Rodney Hall, big play receiver Jaquan Richardson, offensive lineman Julio Madero, and a trio of key defensive players with defensive lineman Desmond Hill, cornerback Jaden Pruitt, and safety Bryce Woody. Permian isn't without question marks, as it will start seven new players on the defensive side of the ball. 2. Legacy, 10-2, 6-0. LHS is shooting for an unprecedented fifth straight district title, which has never been done in its school history. The Rebels will be the most tested team during the district play, as four of their five non-district opponents are ranked in the Dave Campbell's preseason rankings, which includes Amarillo Tascosa, number 10, and Abilene High, number 12, in Class 5A Division I, and Cibolo Steele, number 16, and Converse Judson, number 47, in Class 6A. LHS has a number of players to replace in its skilled position spots and front seven, but Hartman and his staff have done a great job of developing players since 2017. 3. Friendship, 5-5, 2-4. The Tigers have been knocking on the door of the playoffs for the last 2 years, but just missed with fifth place finishes. Friendship has a solid group coming back that includes Division I offensive line prospect Isaiah Kima, a deep receiving core, and an experienced front seven on defense. The Tigers do have to replace QB Chad Ferries, the Angelo State freshman who passed for 2,330 yards, rushed for 682 yards, and accounted for 39 total TDs last season. 4. Odessa High, 3-7, 1-5. The Broncos might have snuck into the playoffs last year if it weren't for a midseason injury to QB Diego Cervantes. Head coach Dusty Ortiz and his staff did a remarkable job last year of turning around a program that had lost 12 straight games prior to their arrival and helping them become competitive almost overnight. Junior receiver Ivan Sarion is the top district's top skilled position player. If Jaylian Jones steps up at QB and fills the void left by Cervantes' graduation, the Broncos are capable of reaching the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. 5. Midland High, 2-8, 1-5. The good news is that the Bulldogs had another offseason to get comfortable with the Veer offense and the schemes installed by head coach Thad Fortune, who enters his second year. On the downside, MHS returns only three starters on both offense and defense, so there will be some baptism by fire in the early slate. I do believe the talent level has improved on both sides. If the Veer offense can produce more explosive plays, the Bulldogs could find themselves in the playoffs. 6. San Angelo Central, 4-7, 2-4. The Bobcats have much to prove this season after they finished the 2021 season by losing 7 of their last 9 games. One of those 2 victories in the last 9 was a win by forfeit. Despite last year's lackluster finish, Central does bring back QB Tyler Hill, who is the league's best signal caller, outside of Davila and Hall, after he passed for 1,962 yards and rushed for 820 yards last season. The Bobcats will have to shore up a defense that gave up 40 or more points in 6 games last season. This is a proud program that has reached the playoffs 12 straight years and will be fighting to keep that streak going. Now moving over to the Odessa Americans, Saturday, August 20th edition. Sports. High school football. Broncos get good workout in scrimmage. Jones and Gonzalez pace Odessa High. By Lee Scheide, Abilene. The Odessa High coaching staff finally got a chance to see the Broncos face someone other than teammates Thursday at Shotwell Stadium. Traveling east on Interstate 20, Odessa High faced Abilene Cooper in its only scrimmage for the 2022 season, and head coach Dusty Ortiz was encouraged by what he saw. "It went really well, I thought," said Ortiz, who is starting his second season at the helm of the program. "I would have liked for us to get out to a faster start, but when you factor in that we've only really been in pads for 3 days because of media day and the rain on Tuesday, we did well, but we finished strong." In the live quarter of play, the Broncos defense stepped up at safety. Jamin Gonzalez went up for an interception and returned it 70 yards for a touchdown. Gonzalez also spent time work behind center as the backup quarterback. "I was pretty proud of them," Ortiz said of the defense. "There was a lot more energy. They were more excited about playing and a lot more hats to the ball." Ortiz was also impressed with the play of senior quarterback Jaylian Jones. Jones, who was forced into service last season when Diego Cervantes was injured, showed that the game has slowed down for him as he has matured while learning the offense. "He does have a different maturity now," Ortiz said. "You can see his confidence. He did a nice ready defense and looked a lot more comfortable. he can throw 50 yards off his back foot. And with the receiving core we have, it's a nice luxury to have a kid like that. Odessa High now sets its sights on the season opener at Lubbock Monterey on August 26th at 7 p.m. at Ratliff Stadium. After getting back after midnight, the players return to school early Friday morning to lift weights and watch video. We have things to work on, and it's nice to have video against someone else to show them so we can show them how to correct mistakes, Ortiz said. Now from the Odessa American Sports Section, published Sunday, August 21st. High school football, Permian kicks into high gear in scrimmage. Panthers score 9 times against El Paso Pebble Hills, by Lee Scheide, Van Horn. For the second year in a row, the Permian football team experienced a weather delay during its scrimmage. Mother Nature, however, was the only thing slowing the Panthers down against El Paso Pebble Hills. After the freshman portion of the scrimmage was pushed back 30 minutes by lightning, Permian's varsity offense struck early and often during its time on the field at Eagle Stadium. The Panthers found the end zone 9 times, including 3 in the live portion of the competition. I thought it was a good start for us, Permian head coach Jeff Ellison said. I was pleased with the overall effort on both sides of the ball. Liked up front with the offensive line. It was the starting point, establishing the line of scrimmage. Another bright spot was the play of returning quarterback Rodney Hall. Guiding the Panthers down the field, he was able to improvise when his protection broke down, including a long scamper for a touchdown where he started to his left, planted, and reversed field before cutting up into the line and outrunning the defenders to the end zone. He was creative a couple of times, Ellison said of the senior leader. He can make some good things happen. I'm pleased with how he started leading our offense. Defensive lineman Des Hill set the tone for his side of the ball with 2 of Permian's 6 sacks on the night. Caleb Washington, working in the secondary, had 2 interceptions. All positives heading into Permian's opening game against Abilene High at 7 p.m. on August 26th at Shotwell Stadium. I think the first scrimmage is a foundation, Ellison said. As the game went on, our offense started to gel. I liked our tenacity and our speed, especially on defense running to the ball. College football, getting close. Falcons showcase progress during first scrimmage of the season, by Lee Scheide. UTPB's football program has been hard at work the past 2 weeks. The Falcons showcased how things are going during a scrimmage Saturday at Falcon Field. Offense versus defense. And for the most of the spirited, nearly 2-hour session, the defense was in control. The offense was able to find the end zone twice, but time and again, the Falcons' defensive effort snuffed out short yardage plays to end drives and start celebrations. We just have to be more consistent on offense, head coach Justin Kerrigan said. The defense was doing some good things. Quarterbacks Dylan Graham and Jordan Barton each directed a scoring drive. Both transferred into the Falcons program after strong junior college seasons in 2021. Graham was at Diablo Valley College in Pleasant Hill, California, while Barton played at Riverside, California City College. Graham is in the driver's seat to start against Southwest Baptist on September 3rd. Dylan brings some great leadership to him, Kerrigan said. He did a tremendous job through the spring. He does a great job just in some one-on-one stuff, grabbing guys, picking guys up, kind of being another coach between the lines. Jordan is a really good athlete that can throw the ball well, so he has a little bit extra to him in his toolbox. He's more of a dual threat guy. The biggest threat to Graham, Barton, and the other UTPB quarterbacks on this day was the pressure the defensive line was applying on each snap. Jacob Martin, co-defensive coordinator. Not even stepping up into the pocket gave the signal callers much extra time. You get to fly around and hit somebody, so the guys are always fired up about that, said co-defensive coordinator Jacob Martin. It's good to see from top to bottom all the guys making plays and doing what they were supposed to do for the most part. The D-line's done a great job of getting off the football, And most of that stopping short yardage goes to them and creating a new line of scrimmage. I think they had 9 sacks. The Falcons played 17 games in 2021 after its 2020 schedule was pushed to the spring because of the pandemic. They were 5-0 in the spring and 5-5 in the fall, earning the program's first invitation to a postseason game. And now, Odessa American, Monday, August 22nd, sports. Countdown to kickoff 2022. Bearing down. Balmoray working hard on another state title run. By Royal McGregor, Balmoray. Every time the Balmoray football team takes or leaves its home field, they are reminded of a state championship trophy hosted in 2020. Vance Jones, who took over as the head coach of the Bears in 2012, said his team is ready to make another run at a state championship. "I feel pretty good with where they started," Jones said. "The kids came in pretty good shape. Nobody has missed practice. They are working really hard and they are focused. They've got a goal, and that's to make it back to the state game. They've been working pretty hard to get there." Balmoray is slated to return 16 lettermen from a year ago. The Bears bring back 4 starters on offense and 6 starters on defense. Jones said one of the most important parts of making another run at a state championship will be the ability to keep everyone on the field. "Our experience is one of our strengths," Jones said. "We've got all of our starters back on defense and 4 starters back on offense and several guys that played a lot at those positions. The experience is huge for us coming in." Jones added, "If we can stay healthy and not have any injuries, we have a really good shot to make a deep run." Jones said his team has good athletes at every position. Balmoray will look to its wealth of returners, which include All-State running back senior Tomas Contreras, seniors Wayne Witcher, Aiden Mata, Austin Hawley, and juniors Alex Mata, Adrian Mata, and Landon Lopez. Jones said junior Ethan Villanueva is scheduled to start at quarterback. "We've got some depth at every position," Jones said. "Like I said, if we stay healthy, we are in good shape." The Bears ended the 2021 season with a 9-2 record and lost in the area round of the playoffs to eventual state runner-up, Motley. During the 2021 season, Balmoray averaged 52.4 points per game and allowed 21.5 points per game. The Bears defended their district opponents by an average of 46.3 points per game. Their lone forfeit last year came from district opponent Dell City. "The team realizes that we have to be focused for every game, no matter who we are playing or where we are playing," Jones said. "They are coming up in hungrier because of that loss." Stepping up. "Last year, we only had 2 seniors, so the young guys had to step it up," Jones said. "Some of them had to help be the leaders, and they did a good job. That has really helped us coming into this season, is the fact that our juniors last year really had to step it up and be leaders. We had 2 or 3 sophomores that are now juniors that have become really good leaders. Our leadership is going to be solid." Now, from the Midland Reporter Telegram edition, published Tuesday, August 23rd. Sports. High school football. Bulldogs show pros and cons in scrimmage. By Christopher Hattern. As expected, the Midland High football team ran the ball well in its scrimmage against Lubbock Cooper on Friday. The Bulldogs' triple option offense amassed 314 rushing yards against the Pirates at Astound Broadband Stadium. MHS junior running back Briley Perez stood out the most as he gained 101 rushing yards on 9 carries while making Cooper defenders miss with his elusiveness in the open field. The Bulldogs had their moments as they equaled the Pirates with 2 touchdowns apiece during the controlled portion of the scrimmage. However, Cooper finished the scrimmage strong by outscoring MHS 2-0 in touchdowns during the 12-minute timed quarter. The Bulldogs only converted 1 first down during the timed quarter while ending their last possession with 2 fumbles on their last 2 plays. The scrimmage was MHS's only tune-up before it visits El Paso Montwood in its season opener at 5 p.m. next Friday. "I thought the guys executed well, but What we've got to learn to do is we don't have any room for error, and we've got to know our rules and just execute, Bulldogs head coach Thad Fortune said. I thought we did a nice job and we stayed on track and we made plays when we did it right. If we didn't do it right, we got behind the sticks. We just couldn't catch back up, especially right there in the live quarter. We just had some miscues offensively in the live quarter that we've got to get better at. The scrimmage started well for the MHS defense as sophomore corner Jake Nava recovered a fumble around the 20-yard line to stall a potential Cooper scoring drive. Bulldogs senior running back Elijah McCoy scored on a 1-yard run on a touchdown drive that was engineered by backup quarterback Storman Bridges. On MHS's next offensive series, senior quarterback Jake Cunningham rolled out of the pocket and threw to the corner of the end zone and connected with Bridges on a 19-yard TD pass. Perez spearheaded the Bulldogs' rushing attack with long gains with runs of 23, 29, and 27 yards. Briley did a great job, Fortune said. He's got great talent. I'm proud of him and the improvement that he has made over the last year, and I'm excited for his season. The offensive line did a good job in front of him as well. Other MHS ball carriers that shined were Jakey Urias with 48 rushing yards on 4 carries, Elijah McCoy with 39 rushing yards, Mecky McCoy with 33 rushing yards on 4 attempts, and Bridges with 31 rushing yards on 5 carries. Long passing plays were the Achilles heel of the Bulldogs defense on Friday as Cooper scored through the air on plays of 72, 61, and 51 yards. The 51-yarder occurred on a 3rd and 11 at midfield during the timed quarter when Cooper quarterback Bryce LeBlanc improvised and launched a deep ball to Sam Marcinkowski. We'll get it fixed because we've got to do a good job when we get a team in 3rd and long, Fortune said. You've got to finish the deal. But really proud overall, just their effort and their attitude. They've been great. It's been a great week of work. We had a really good 4 days of practice. I was happy for them to get out here and do it. The fans came out and were awesome. We're really pumped about going to Montwood next week and getting the regular season kicked off right. Now from the Odessa American Sports section, Tuesday, August 23rd. Countdown to kickoff 2022. Numbers game. Ira Ann rebuilding roster as Braves look to get back in playoff mix. By Laura Dennis. The Ira Ann Braves didn't have the best season last year, but coach Barry Bowman hopes to lead his young team to a better outing this year. Bowman is in year 2 as head coach at Ira Ann and said last year's 1-8, 0-5 in district, record was tough and that the team struggled to keep enough players. This year, Bowman said he has 21 returning lettermen with 11 on offense and 10 on defense. He said in 2020, they only had 14 players and at one point ended a game with only 10. When I got here, I really made it a point to make it my first goal to make sure to fill up a team, Bowman said. I recruited in the hallways, and I make sure that every kid who wants to play can. We picked up more with the freshman class and added more until last year we had about 25. He said this year they have about 32 and started with 28. We are mostly freshmen and sophomores. We do have tons of skill, but know this will be a challenge. Bowman said he didn't consider dropping from 11-man to 6-man, although due to enrollment numbers, the team could drop in classification. This community doesn't want 6-man, he said. We are in a tough district, and it can be hard to compete with schools that have larger numbers. It is a challenge, but it is the challenge we want. He said with a small squad that conditioning is a priority, as many will play both sides of the ball. Bowman's key players include his son, Cole Bowman, a junior, who will return at quarterback. He acknowledged it can be tough to coach your own child. It is difficult. I'm also the QB coach, so I'm coaching him twice, and sometimes maybe I'm a little tougher on him. He expects big things from Cole Bowman and also from junior running back J.D. Solis and wide receiver Blake Johnson. Blake was a newcomer of the year last year in our district, and he will be a sophomore this year. Bowman said both Cole and junior Ethan Barrera are leaders on the team. The squad has only a single senior, Aiden Sanchez. He is quiet, he works hard, and leads by example, Bowman said of Aiden. Bowman said the biggest issue for Ira Ann's football program for the last 5 years has been numbers. They are also in a tough district, 5-2A Division II, with McCamey and Wink, which are both perennial powerhouses, with two of the best players in the state in Matthew Rosas of McCamey and Cannon Gibson of Wink. Bowman said Ira Ann gives tremendous support to the football program and that a recent fundraiser was a huge success. This town has a lot of pride in the program. We won state in 1996, and we went to state and lost in 2016, he said. The community is very pro-football. They still want us to win and be good, but they also understand we are young and in a tough district. I'm excited about the opportunity to be back and excited about the potential. We will get better this year, and it will show with an improved product on the field. Oh man, it's going to be a tough, tough year, and Sterling City moved up to our district, and Water Valley and Wink is going to have a lot of kids, and McCamey is always tough, Bowman said, but I have never played Sterling City or Water Valley. Bowman added that the biggest positive from last season has been the continuity. Doing the same offense, and we are getting more and more efficient and more comfortable.
Weight training still provides benefits. Dear Dr. Roach, I'm a 75-year-old female in excellent health. I either walk or exercise daily with fitness videos that are great and provide a lot of body science along the way. The only thing I'm unsure about is that the video instructor doesn't believe in using weights and feels that using and raising our arms, legs, etc. will offer enough weight for those of us over 50. However, most fitness articles say that using weights is essential for all ages, especially for the elderly. I've used 2 to 5 pound weights in the past for walking and exercise, but even those are uncomfortable. I've always had very strong legs, but not much upper body strength. What is the best advice? A.O. Answer. Weight training has benefits that cannot be obtained with aerobic exercise alone. Resistance training, usually with weights, is particularly important for older women because when done properly, it increases muscle strength and balance. It also reduces fall risks as well as bone strength, reducing the risk of fracture even if one does fall. Exercise with a combination of aerobics, stretching, and weights is ideal since each of these offers independent benefits. However, we sometimes don't live in an ideal world, and any exercise is better than no exercise. I wouldn't want you to give up entirely because you think you aren't getting benefit without the weights. Exercise using body weight can also increase strength. You don't need to have physical weights in your hand to get the benefit of resistance exercise. I generally advise against having weights held in the hand or strapped to the limbs while walking or jogging. It may change your natural gait and put stress on your lower joints from your toes to your hips. It also can have the potential for upper limb injuries. I advise separating your aerobic activity from your weight training activity.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, August 25th. Friend shows pattern of flaking out when needed. Dear Abby, a childhood friend, Brenda, moved away 20 years ago. Even though we were living across the country from each other, we remained close. About 10 years ago, I lost my 9-month-old nephew to cancer. It was extremely traumatic for our whole family. His death occurred around the time Brenda and her family were visiting her parents here in town, so I notified them about the wake and funeral arrangements. Abby, they never showed. I was heartbroken and didn't talk to Brenda for a few months. After she apologized many times, I started to talk to her. A few years later, Brenda's mother passed away. I was there for her and her family from start to finish, and when she was sick, I would take her mom to doctor appointments. Last year, my mother died after a brief illness, and I again let my friend know. Again, she was a no-show. Money was not a problem for plane tickets for other things, but too expensive for me to have the comfort of a supposed best friend. Should I ignore this again, or let the relationship fizzle out? I'm hurt and have expressed this to her. She says she's sorry, but nothing changes. Signed, Disappointed in New York. Dear Disappointed, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your mother. It's time you reevaluated your relationship with Brenda. You may be her best friend, but she is clearly not yours. A best friend is someone you can depend on. When the chips are down, Brenda has been absent. If you wish to keep her as a friend, do so, but with the understanding of her significant limitations. Dear Abby, I am finalizing the guest list for my wedding and face a dilemma. A casual but long-term friend of ours is the ex-boyfriend of my maid of honor. The two are still friends and see each other occasionally, so there is no issue there. The issue is whether or not to invite his live-in girlfriend. I know typical wedding etiquette usually includes significant others, but in this case? First off, we barely know her. Most of the time when our friend comes to our house, she doesn't come along. When we visit his house, she's gone or seems to avoid us. We're having a small backyard wedding, and the ex-girlfriend and the new girlfriend have never met. Is it necessary to invite her? I want to be respectful, but it seems complicated for everyone involved, and I'd rather not have it detract from the day for my maid of honor. Signed, Bride-to-be in Oregon. Dear Bride-to-be, not knowing the ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend, I can't offer insight into why she seems standoffish. It may be that she's socially awkward and not comfortable with people she doesn't know. To exclude the live-in girlfriend would be not only disrespectful to her, but also to her boyfriend. I don't advise doing it because you could create long-lasting hurt feelings and ill will.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.